within us shines. Both God and man are at home now by the mutual abiding in the vine. Amen. Abiding in the vine. All the riches of God's life are ours. Praise God. He put us here never to leave. We're abiding in the vine. Amen. Morning session 2, living a fruit-bearing life. Message 1, fruit-bearing, the preaching of the gospel on the highest plane. Praise the Lord. Amen. In John chapter 14, we see abode and abodes, plural. And in John chapter 15, we see abide. We have abode and abodes, and we have abide. In John chapter 14, we see that the Lord Jesus was crucified. He was resurrected. He went and prepared a place for us. This place isn't heaven. This place isn't a mansion in the sky with central heating. This place is the being of the Father. Our place that the Lord has prepared for us is in the being of God the Father. And further, he is the transfigured, compound, processed, and consummated life-giving spirit of reality who has come to us, the many abodes, to make his abode with us. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. This is the mutual indwelling of God and man in God, a residence of peace, a house of glory, and the function of this residence is for God's rest and for God's satisfaction. And in John chapter 15, really we see the same thing. We see the mutual abiding of God in man and man in God. So in John 15, we see that the Father God himself is the husbandman, and the Lord Jesus himself is the vine, and we are the branches. And what are the branches doing in this organism? Yes, not organization, but in this organism of the triune God that's in the dispensing of the triune God. There is all manner of fruit being born. All manner of fruit being born. The Lord Jesus himself is God incarnate. If we want God, we need Christ. If we want Christ with God, we need the Spirit. God is in Christ. Christ is the embodiment of God. And even from Colossians 2:9, we see that he is the fullness of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in this Christ bodily. And Christ himself is the declaration of all that the triune God is. This one has declared him. So on one hand, he's the embodiment of the triune God, and he's the declaration, the manifestation of all that God is and has in his wealthy being. Amen. This one has declared him. This one is the true vine. The true vine is Christ himself as the embodiment of God, the fullness of the Godhead, the one who has declared all that the Father is and has. He's the manifestation of God in the Godhead. And we are branches in this vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. And this word abide is a verb, and it shows action. In chapter 14, we have the noun. In chapter 15, we have the action, the verb of abiding. And this Greek verb, meno, really means not just to hang out for a little while, right? To come and be here just for a night or for a day or even just a week. but to live here forever and continuously, moment by moment, day by day. Abide in me and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. So at regeneration, we were put into this one. And now day by day, we can draw from all the wealthy resource in the being of God in and through this vine. Amen. In the way of life. Christ has come to be life. Yes. The process divine Trinity. And in this one, all the fullness of the Godhead was life. The eternal life. The lasting life. The divine life. The uncreated rich life of God. And further, we see from the Gospel of John when he says, I am, pointing to the fact that he's the deity. He says, I am the life. And further, not only was life in him, not only has he come to be life, not only is he the life, but he has come, in John 10:10, to be life to you. To be life to you. So he's life, and he's come to give life. But moreover, he's come to give life to you. Come to give life to me. He has come that we may have life and have life abundantly. John 10:10b. And whoever receives this one has the life. Whoever has the Son has the life. If you have life this morning, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I have life. This one who is abiding in us is the life. And he is our life. That's Colossians 3. And we can live by him. And draw, day by day, we can draw from the wealth of that being. To be filled with his life continuously. Day by day. To saturate our mind, to saturate our emotion, to saturate our will. And really, the branches in the vine who are absorbing all the riches of the life of the vine are the branching out of Christ himself. So this vine is an organism. It's living. It's moving. It's spreading all over the earth. So we're seeing the branching out of the triune God through the branches in Olympia, Amen. Canada, all over the U.S., Germany, Amen. Stuttgart, Dusseldorf, Berlin, Amen. Hong Kong, Amen. India, Amen. South America. Amen. He's spreading in Africa, Amen. The Russian world. Amen. Hallelujah for the vine Amen. And the spreading of the vine. This vine, the organism of the triune God, is not a human organization. It's a living organism. And that is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is an organism, a living, moving, breathing, functioning being. And when we as the branches abide in the vine and are filled with the riches of his life, these branches are growing. These branches are loving one another. And these branches are bearing fruit. And bearing fruit abundantly for the Father's glory. For the Father's glory. So this is very much on the Lord's heart. And so probably the question that many of us have is, how can I bear fruit? I'm a branch in the vine. I want to bear fruit. What can we do to bear fruit? And the Lord gives us the way. In John chapter 15, we see from his word, which we should pay attention to his word, read his word, pray over his word, and realize that his word is complete. And the how is already there in this chapter. in John chapter 15. So the church is not an organization. The way to bear fruit is also not man-made, by man's natural thought, by his clever ideas, by his methods, by his schemes, or by gimmicks. The Lord says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I set you as branches for this purpose, to bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. But he didn't give us any other ideas other than abiding. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, but unless you abide in me, then we will see the issue of life, the overflowing of life, which is fruit. Fruit is the overflowing of this life that we receive, experience, enjoy, and are saturated with. This life that constitutes our very being brings forth, according to the law of life, fruit for the Father's expression, for the Father's glory. Praise the Lord for this mutual abiding. Amen. On one hand, for God's rest and satisfaction. On the other hand, for his glory, for his expression, and for the fulfillment of his purpose. So the matter of fruit bearing is very much on the Lord's heart. But one thing that we don't need is, you know, and I remember this from a kid, there was Dale Carnegie classes, you know, how to be a better businessman. The book was entitled How to Win Friends and Influence People. And you know, in the natural realm and in the world, you know, in human endeavors, in the business world, maybe there's something to that. But the Lord altogether has a different enterprise. And he operates in the way of life. And really the work, the labor of fruit bearing is altogether an issue of the overflow of life. So the overflow of life is work. We even have a hymn on this, right? Hymn 910 that shares with us and opens this matter to us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So nothing really means no thing. And for us, we may consider the fact that this is really mysterious, right? This is really, really mysterious. But in the divine and mystical realm, even the mysterious things are practical. So this matter of abiding is very mysterious on one hand. On the other hand, it's very, very practical. Very practical. So our preaching of the gospel must be on the highest level, which is to minister or to overflow this life that we've been filled with, this life that we've been saturated with, the divine life, the Christ life, the Spirit life, to people. To people. Amen. So we must realize that in the church service, we do not need to do anything in the way of organization. The church is an organism. And what an organism needs is life. Amen. Therefore, our church service is mainly for ministering life to others. Ministering life to others. So if we abide in the Lord by day, and we're getting lots of help from the brothers, turning our heart moment by moment, day by day, exercising our spirit to contact this one, to believe into him, to receive him, to enjoy him through prayer, pray reading, exercising to call on his name. We're being filled, we're being saturated with the riches of this life. Yeah. By singing, being filled with the riches of this life. And with this life, there is an overflow of life. And that issue, that overflow of life, is a ministry of life to people around us. that will cause them to believe, that will cause them to become branches, abiding in the vine, for the furtherance of the growth, the expansion and enlargement of this vine. So bearing fruit is not merely a matter of preaching or teaching. It's a matter of impartation of life, the impartation of the divine life. The branches abide in the vine, and as they abide, what do? They bear fruit, and this fruit comes from the overflow of the inner life. To have the proper, genuine spreading of the gospel, we must have the overflow of the inner life. If we abide properly in the vine, then the life of the vine will fill us up. The life that has filled us will overflow into others. And this is fruit bearing. And this is the genuine and proper preaching of the gospel. This is a revolutionizing concept. But when we have this experience of abiding in the Lord, being filled with his life, and the branches who are also abiding, we're loving one another in the context of the church life. It's so wonderful. And if we abide in him and the Lord's words abide in us, then whatever we ask concerning his will, even related to people that he is very concerned about, he will make known to us. And we, by the sense of the Lord's feeling in our spirit, can pray back those words back to him concerning these people, and he will do whatever we ask. He will do whatever we ask. So you have a burden for your friend on the campus, burden for your friends in the classroom, family members, people that you work with, people that you serve with in your job, whatever it might be, if you ask concerning them with your companions, the Lord will do that. He will make these people branches in the vine. Amen. And lead them to salvation. So fruit bearing is altogether a matter of leading people to the Lord, to be regenerated, to be born anew, to become sons of God, and to become members of the body of Christ. So with the whole church, we can pray. With our twos and threes, we can pray. Vital groups, we can pray. With our companions, we can pray. We can pray. Amen. You know, and on our college campus, and I can testify, and I'm not boasting. I'm just declaring the fact of the testimony. The Lord gets the glory. We're just branches in the vine. But in, you know, whether it's gospel trips in Europe, right? Atsua and I, brother, we were in Japan, and we saw the spreading of the vine in Japan, right? On college campuses, in places where we work. And actually, you know, we went to school at one time too. We were at the university. And we see the spreading of this vine. And we can really testify that our joy is made full when we see this. When we go to Stuttgart, I had the privilege of going last year, and we see a Muslim from Syria come to the Lord and be saved and receive him, and the life changed. Our joy is made full. Amen. Our joy is made full. And that's our testimony. I'm burdened about our living, even day by day, you know, standing in line at the bank or the grocery store. You know, we can really take our place as a branch in the vine and overflow the riches of this life to all manner of people who are thirsty, and they are hungry, and they want God. And they're just waiting for someone like Jacob Freeman to meet them. And this brother overflows to them. And they become a fellow branch in the vine. This can happen on our college campuses. And even for professors. I've been crazy before. And I wrote an email to a professor one time, and I shared the gospel to the full with this one, a professor of psychology. And I said, if you're interested, I'd like to invite you for lunch, and we can talk about this more. And he emailed me, and he let me know that he was very, very offended with me. Very offended with me, because he's a professor, and we respect our professors. And I'm a student, so I was the inferior. And how dare I approach him like this, with this kind of attempt to proselytize? And guess how I responded? From one community member to another community member, I write this because I care about you. Just like that. So we can overflow to anyone. Guess what? Everyone is the right person.
Amen.
Did you know that? And everywhere is the right place. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Even on the basketball court, I'm burdened. Maybe you can pray with me for Matt and Logan, Austin, Kanan, Chandler, Owen. Young, thirsty men, they're up to no good in the summertime. But the Lord just has a way through fellow branches to overflow, and they're thankful for the word that they hear, the word of life, the word of the gospel. Amen. One thing that I'd like to prep you about before I give it over to Brother David to follow up is the matter of when we're really bearing fruit. Satan doesn't like this. Satan doesn't like this. But I'd just like to put a word in you of faith and confidence so that you're not discouraged or disheartened. Because anytime there is all manner of fruit bearing, there will be the enemy's attacks. And this is also in John 15. This is also in John 15, where he gives a word of warning about those who hate you, those who hate you and who persecute you. And in the beginning of the next chapter, it's those who even kill you, who even kill you. Satan, through the world, and even especially in our experience, the religious world, will persecute. But just to encourage you, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. Because you can pray, binding and loosing prayers. And you realize the struggle isn't with people. It's with the things in the air. It's with the things in the air. And Satan wants to frustrate this matter very much because it's on the Lord's heart. And when it actually comes to fruition, there will rise up opposition. But you just continue to bless. You pray for them. Don't be discouraged. And just go on. Actually, this kind of persecution strengthens our organic union in the Lord to flow out more life. When I see the attacks of Satan, it inspires me more to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. So don't be discouraged. Let's continue abiding in the light, abiding in the vine, receiving him by believing in him, being filled with the riches of his life through prayer, pray reading, calling on his name,
amen,
being revived day by day. And don't forget to say with a turned heart and really mean it, like our brother Phil pointed out.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. And then we don't have to question whether or not we're abiding in the vine. We just will be. Okay? And the issue of this is the overflow of life, which is fruit. Brother David Kim will share with us now.
I think that Hannah She's going to share a short testimony with us relating to fruit bearing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Is a corporate matter of abiding in the vine. So my name is Hannah. I'm from Vancouver, and I go to UBC. Last summer, I experienced fruit bearing through abiding in the vine. Summer is actually a really great time because it's when you're free, and it's also a time when you spend the most time with the saints. And so last summer, we had some sisters travel from a bunch of places around the world. One of them is here. Zoe's here. I don't know where she's sitting, but she's here. And we had a few other sisters from Europe and also California come. And then we were all getting together. We were all enjoying the Lord. We went to get ice cream. And I also have a friend named Isabella. We've been friends since high school. So this has been, we've been friends for 5 years around so. And she actually works at that ice cream place. And she's been my best friend for a long time. But I've never really been able to preach the gospel to her. Because preaching the gospel is very hard when you're a teenager. I've been praying for her throughout these years. I don't know why, but I've been praying for her. And she knows that I go to church meetings, but I've never really shared anything with her. And so it was really good that the sisters and I were there, because while we were at this ice cream place, Isabella was also there. And then she wanted to know what we were doing, and we're like, oh, these are some people from church that I know, and they're here, and we're going to go to the park. Do you want to come to a home meeting with us? And she was like, okay. And we're like, okay. And so it was by that mutual enjoyment of the Lord that we were able to overflow, because she saw our enjoyment and she saw how we enjoyed being with each other. Through that enjoyment and through that overflow, she was so captured. And she was so captured at the home meeting. She was like, whoa. She was taking notes. She was everything. She was just really encouraged by the members of the body and seeing the body life. And at the end, these sisters were like, hey, like, you can come visit us whenever you want. She's like, really? Okay. And then she got saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so it's really great, because even I haven't been able to consistently meet with her throughout all semester, but that testimony of seeing the abiding in the vine and of the members abiding in one another has created a lasting impression in her. She's visited one of the sisters when she went to visit. She also went to their home meeting, and she was like, whoa, this is like your home meeting. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then she also visited my sister recently, last month in Brooklyn. And then she went to their home meeting, which was like a YP home meeting. She didn't know anybody. And then my sister was like, whoa, Isabella is really thirsty. She really, you need to follow up with her consistently, because she's still so thirsting for the word. Amen. And so this enjoyment of the Lord causes us to outflow and dispense.
Amen.
It's not only by mere doctrine, because We can tell everyone everything, but it's really the enjoyment that causes us to outflow.
Right.
Sometimes when I hang out with her, I'm just like, this is what I enjoyed today. And she's like, okay. And I don't do that with my other friends, but I do that with Isabella, because now she's a sister in the Lord.
Amen.
And she just takes it all in. It's really by our enjoyment that we can be a testimony to others.
Amen. Thank you, Hannah. So in this portion, how about let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to bear fruit as branches of the vine. I want to start off by showing you, who here has seen a grapevine before in real life? Oh, that's a lot of you. Does the grapevine have very particular, you know, beautiful blossoms? That's notable. I'm asking you. I actually haven't seen one in person. Yes or no? Not really? You said it's pretty. Right, but would people come to see, oh, the grapevine's blossoming. Let me come see it. Would people come look at it? Not really. Cherry blossoms, right? But the grapevine doesn't really. What is notable about the grapevine? Is it the wood? Can I use the grapevine wood to make this podium? No. It's the fruit. The grapevine bears fruit. Amen. Clusters and clusters of fruit. And actually, there's nothing else that it's useful for except bearing fruit, bearing grapes, and bearing grapes abundantly. And it spreads. It spreads all over the place. Why did the Lord use this example when he came to John 15? It's a very interesting example. It's because the vine, the emphasis is on fruit. Amen? Amen? Let me read John 15, 1 through 8 to you. I am the true vine. I need the amens.
Amen.
My Father is the husbandman.
Amen.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit.
Amen.
You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you.
Amen.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me.
Amen.
I am the vine.
Amen.
You are the branches.
Amen.
He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
For apart from me, you can do nothing. If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. In this is my Father glorified,
Amen.
That you bear much fruit,
Amen.
And so you will become my disciples. Okay, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I want you to consider these verses. John 15 is on fruit. The abiding is for fruit. Amen?
Amen.
So as branches in the vine, who here is regenerated? Say hallelujah.
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 Well, I'll tell you what, according to John 15, every regenerated believer is a branch. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
All the branches say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what it means to be a branch? It means we're in him already.
Amen.
We don't have to muster up anything. We open to the Lord. We exercise our spirit. We're genuine with the Lord. And the riches are there. We're in the riches, brothers and sisters. Right? But the abiding is for the fruit bearing. In A, it says, if we're saved, we are a branch in the vine. You know, this song started out, we need a vision divine. We need a vision to see what we are. We are branches. Hallelujah. B says, we must realize that every branch in the vine must abide in the Lord to bear fruit. And there's another message in the later ones where it will emphasize on abiding. But suffice it to say for now, for him to abide in us, means that there's no insulation, right? All the things the brothers were helping us this morning, it gets rid of the insulation of sin, the insulation of the self, of our disposition, right? And also for the Lord to abide in us, it means that we give him no limitation. We allow him to do whatever he wants in us. Okay. Actually, my burden is in this next point. Let's read it all together on A1. Brian, let's say I said hi to you, and then, you know, you didn't even look at me. You just kind of went like this, and I get offended. And then later you find out, Brian, you offended David. How would you feel? You would feel bad, right? Let's say, Isaac, let's say, you know, you talk back to your mom in a wrong tone. You lost your temper with her. Later, you know, the Lord's just convicting you, right? You feel bad. There's a lot of feeling. When you offend someone, when you do something wrong, when you sin, a lot of feeling. Your conscience is just, the light is too much sometimes. But how about barrenness? Is there any feeling concerning, and I'm including myself, our barrenness? We haven't borne fruit in years. Maybe you say, I've been a Christian for 3 years, for 5 years. You know, I go to all the meetings. I even go to the prayer meetings. I prophesy. I prophesy in the prophesying meetings. I read my Bible. I have morning revival. I even shepherd other people. I go and visit the saints. I have appointments. The Lord is asking you. The Lord is asking me, where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Who have you born for me? Have you born a believer for the Lord? I'm asking myself too. I was so exposed sharing, having to prepare for this message. You know why I can list those excuses? Because those are the excuses I gave the Lord. Lord, I'm in the church life. I'm enjoying you. I'm taking care of students. But the Lord just, but who have you brought to the Lord? Who have you plugged into the vine? Who have you borne as your fruit? There should be a lot of feeling. We are abnormal because we are insensitive to barrenness. What if there was a couple who are trying to have children, but they can't? I go talk to them. And they say, well, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me. But there's something terribly wrong. In the human life, if you cannot have children, there is something terribly wrong. You need to seek medical help. But how about in the spiritual life? How much fruit have we borne for the Lord? Okay? And now there's a warning in these verses. To not bear fruit will cause us to be cut off from the enjoyment of the life of the vine. Many brothers and sisters do not have much enjoyment of the riches of Christ's life simply because they do not bear fruit. You may be wondering, I used to enjoy the Lord so much, but now he's not so rich. My calling on the Lord, not so rich. I don't feel like the meetings have changed. The brothers are still there. They keep nudging me. They keep saying, you know, share something. You know, stand up and share something. Call on the Lord. But inwardly, what's wrong with me? Well, it may be because we have not borne fruit for many, many years. This is what it means in this verse when it says he will cast us out. It doesn't mean we'll lose our salvation. Praise the Lord, once you're born, you can never be unborn. Amen. The Lord said, no one can snatch you from the Father's hand. We have eternal life. But how is the quality of this life? What is the enjoyment of these riches? How is our enjoyment? It's very much affected by our bearing fruit. And now I want to define what is fruit. It is, again, you need to help someone receive the life of the Lord. Amen. For them to come into the riches of this vine. Amen. There is no greater joy than this. My wife and I, we were in Frankfurt, and I remember this dear one. We told him, to receive the Lord, you need to call on the name of the Lord. And you know, I'm routine. So I called three times with him, you know, in Farsi. Oh, Khodavand Isa. But I stopped after three because that's what we do in the church life, right? But this dear brother, now a brother, he was calling slowly. He was calling again and again. Oh, Khodavand Isa. Oh, Khodavand Isa. And I saw his face change. His face began to shine. And afterwards he said, I feel peace. Peace came into me. Something came into me. And he said, I'm going to call. I'm going to call all the time. There's no greater joy than bringing someone to the Lord. This is so that our joy may be made full. It's not a requirement. But it is something of life. It's normal. Right? Amen. And so, see, as branches, we must bear fruit. We must have such a breakthrough. We need to go to the Lord to have a thorough dealing with Him. How about brothers on one? Sisters on two.
We must endeavor and be desperate. We must say, Lord, I am one of your branches. Why do I not bear fruit? I must bear some. I cannot go on like this anymore. Lord, have mercy on me, that by your grace I may bear at least one fruit.
Amen. So what is our response? Our response to this word, to this shining, you know, it's not for us to be paralyzed and introspect. It's not for us to say, well, I've been enjoying the Lord, but have I been enjoying the Lord? I haven't ever borne fruit. So was any of my enjoyment real? No, don't be in that realm. You have enjoyed the Lord. You are enjoying the Lord. But we need help to see that we need this overflow of life. If we've been enjoying normally, there must be fruit. Right? So it's for us, our response should be desperate prayer. Our response is not, I'm going to go and do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to try this. It's, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I want to be normal. I want to experience this full joy. I want to experience your joy. Don't let me go another year without bearing fruit. Lord, I'm nothing, but you are everything. You're the vine. I want to be normal, Lord. This should be our response, right? It's to help us to see that maybe our condition is not normal. It's not for us to think of the past, but to think of right now. Lord, I want to bear fruit. Amen. Let's read three all together. Oh, sorry, C3. If we will bear even one fruit, the life supply will flood in, the life juice will stream in, and we will bear more fruit. To bear the first fruit is a breakthrough. Amen. And let's read three all together. We must all go to the Lord and say, Lord, grant me to be normal in the matter of fruit bearing. Every year I must bear some fruit. Lord, as a branch of your vine, I need a yearly crop. I do not pray for a great amount of fruit in a miraculous way. Rather, I simply want to be normal, bearing at least one fruit per year. Amen. I hope that we can use these prayers in the outline in our personal time. So I'll stop here.